Hello and welcome to episode 2 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jack. This week we discuss Insatiable, Ozark, Silicon Valley and the toys that made us.
We also watch Klaus and we play a new game, One Star Review. Week I have been watching Insatiable. Yeah, like the trailer made it look terrible.
Right.
It is terrible.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. Right. But I can't stop watching it.
What is it about?
Okay, so it's about this girl called Patty, who used to be fat. So everyone used to call her Fatty Patty. But then one day she got hit in the face by a homeless guy who was trying to steal food off her.
Right.
And he said, "You clearly don't need food when I do." So he punched her in the face.
Okay.
And then she punched him in the face. But he broke her jaw, so she couldn't eat. So she became skinny.
Right, because she wasn't eating.
And because she became skinny, people started to like her. And she started getting involved in beauty pageants. And then I can't really explain what happens from there because none of it makes sense.
So I came in about right near the end of the episode, I think, of the end of the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've missed the whole setup as to why this has happened. I just came in and thought, oh, so this girl's now popular because she's lost weight. What sort of message is this sort of sending?
All they do is talk about how when she was fat, she wasn't ugly. And when she was fat, she couldn't have friends and stuff like that. So it's a really negative message.
Yeah.
And that's what the trailer sort of portrays. But they do it in such a tongue-in-cheek way that it's not actually saying that.
Right. Like, it's trying to be not ironic about it, but like...
Kind of. Well, what they push throughout the series is she's actually ugly on the inside, and that's why she wasn't popular. It's not because she's fat.
Yeah.
It's because she's a bad person and a bad friend. But it's made me laugh out loud a few times.
Yeah.
I have sat... If I go and get a drink and come back into the room, a whole new plot has started.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense.
It gives me, like, Wet Hot American Summer vibes because it just suddenly darts to something a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And it's got one of the guys who plays Pastor Mike. He's out of Wet Hot American Summer.
He is.
Sit and watch it with Lisa. And there was a bit where Patty got christened or...
Baptized. Yeah.
And then when she hit the water, because she'd got high beforehand, she saw a talking donut. That tells her to stop being selfless and start taking what she wants in life.
Yeah.
And then there's another bit where I keep coming in at the weirdest part.
I don't think there's a non-weird part.
When she stands on top of the taco van and punches the girl in the face, and then she's got vampire teeth.
She punches this girl in the face who's constantly trying to sabotage her.
Right.
The girl's got veneers, and when she knocks her veneers out, she's actually got filed down vampire teeth,
right,
and bites Patty in the neck.
See, it's just,
none of it makes sense.
Yeah, so it goes from having this weird message of a girl getting skinny and then trying to win pageant contests and be the popular girl.
Yeah.
Mixed in with just random
what is going
events.
On? Yeah.
Yeah. But have you been enjoying it?
It's one of them shows that, like, I don't have to think too much about. If I do miss something, they'll have moved on from it in 5 minutes time, so it doesn't make too much of a difference, but I am actually enjoying it, and I didn't want to, but I am, and there's another season, so...
like announced, or there's already
two
seasons?
Yeah, there's definitely one announced because it says underneath on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there's already two seasons, but every episode's like an hour long, so like I'm not finished with the season. It's taking me forever, but
yeah,
I have.
Oh, really? There's still episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I've been watching it all week.
Insatiable is a Netflix original about an unpopular girl who became popular when she lost weight. That is my take on it.
It's very good, that, Jack.
Thank you. It's almost like I had it written down.
Have you been watching anything? Have you been watching anything?
Yes. So Silicon Valley is back.
Oh, yeah.
We're on series 6. I really enjoy watching Silicon Valley because I work in a bit of a tech background. It's very relatable. Quite funny, so it's by the guys who did Beavis and Butthead, which I've never seen. Mike Judge.
That's but, all I know. I've
yeah,
never seen
yeah,
it myself.
Same. But yeah, the guy, Mike Judge, does them, but it's got a really good cast. And TJ Miller left after series 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't let it down. No,
no,
it hasn't. I think
I've
it hasn't
not enjoyed
let it down.
It since.
No, fair enough.
I think it for me,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but for me, every series is the same thing over and over and over. they start to do really well, and then Richard gets an idea and it messes everything up, and he stutters about it for three episodes. And then something good happens on the last episode and it starts all over again next.
Yeah, but it's all the bits in between that are really funny.
It is, it's really witty, but
it's the whole Guilfoyle and Dinesh feud, and it is, but it isn't. Like,
I know.
In this series, Dinesh is having trouble with a guy at work because he's just being a pain in the ass, and finds out that Guilfoyle's running a bot that talks to Dinesh, so he doesn't have to reply to him. Asks him to do that for himself, and oh, it's just brilliant. Like, it's just crazy. It's just,
I know what you're saying, but for me, it's the same jokes over and over and over for six seasons. And it's
You're
beating a dead horse almost. Like, if they'd have finished it like last season, I'd have been fine. I didn't need this season.
Were they finished it last season, it would have been a bad ending to series. But, I mean, think this might be the last series.
I hope so, because it's getting to a point where I'm like, almost predict what's going to happen in the storyline. Maybe not what's going to happen in the episode with like side characters, but storyline wise, I'm like,
But yeah, Silicon Valley, I mean, I've been watching it for years. Do you think it's got worse, or do you think it stayed about the same?
I don't find myself like laughing as much, and I don't look forward to watching it anymore. Whereas a few years ago, I was like, oh, it's new episode out, and like Jared made me laugh, and TJ Miller did make me laugh, although at one point he was like, even you're getting a bit too same. I hate Richard so much, like, he's so irritating, and I know that's his character.
Yeah, he plays it really well.
But
Thomas,
when it's the same thing every episode, I'm like, we get it.
Yeah.
He messes up, and he's stuttering, and he's socially awkward, but
you like Jared, though.
I do like Jared, but like, none of the characters seem to be developing. They're just staying the same, whereas if he was running a multi-million dollar company, surely he would be able to speak to people by now.
I don't know.
But I don't know. There's been no character development. They're the same as they were.
Maybe.
He still doesn't know how to make a good decision.
Well, that's why he's got his team of people around him.
But neither do they. Yeah. I'm just getting frustrated with it, is all I'm saying.
Jared plays a sort of similar character to who he played in the office as well, like a bit of a wet lettuce with a dark underside.
Yeah.
Who, like, after so many episodes of taking crap off people, he just lets it out and unleashes it. And I always find that sort of thing really funny, because he's so held back.
Relief.
Yeah. Well, he is, but in like a subtle way.
Yeah.
So he'll stay relatively calm and just take it and take it and take it, and then he just unleashes, and it's really unexpected. And because he's the way he is in his character, it's just a lot funnier when he unleashes his wrath on the people. Anyway, so yeah, that's Silicon Valley. So on that, we finished watching Ozark Series 1.
We did. Eventually.
We like to find a couple of shows to watch, but a show like Ozark, as good as it is, when you come home from a like long day in work, it is a harder watch because there's a lot more to take in.
Yeah, and the episode's really slow.
When I'm watching something now, I'll sit, I won't go on my phone as much. I'll try and take it all in, because there's so much more you can take from the way a scene is shot and the music, and it helps tell a story without them actually having to say anything. You can almost tell what's going to happen without the need for them to progress anything with dialect.
I know that, but like, when the story's not going anywhere, it's boring.
Fair enough.
When they're just like staring at something for like, or just like talking about going somewhere, I'm like, just go. You don't need to talk about it. Like, the episodes are like an hour long, and sometimes nothing happens in an episode and we don't get any further, and I'm like, what was that? I think for me, I don't dislike Ozark. I really do enjoy it. It's just the episodes are very long and very slow, and we've been binging it.
Yeah.
And a long, slow episode, when we're watching 2 to 3 in one evening, it literally just drains me. And I really enjoy the storyline, but sometimes they're like, we're not getting anywhere with the story. And it's just a bit like,
there was
taxing.
10 episodes in series one, and it did feel like it took a lot longer to watch. A couple of exciting things have happened, though. Like, when he goes to meet the cowboy guy, but hillbilly, but he doesn't like being called a redneck, and the Mexicans are there, and it just blows his head off.
It does have a few shock factor moments that grab my interest again, but it doesn't hold my interest for the whole episode. And I think,
yeah, I think what he's trying to do is, because it's set in such a beautiful place, it's set in the Ozarks in Missouri, hence the name Ozark. it sort of crosses this atmospheric and beautiful landscape with the storyline, but I guess it can move a little slow at times, but again, I really like the build-up.
I do, like I said, I do enjoy it and I like the storyline, but for me, it's just a little bit slow, so I can't watch a lot of it in one sitting.
Yeah.
Not like Insatiable, which I can
just sit leave and watch. On and it's an not easy be bothered binge. With.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between, we have our easy TV shows and our...
Yeah, you've got to be in the right mindset TV for Ozark, yeah. For me.
But we're trying to get through series two before the third season starts, yeah. So that we're fresh talking about Ozark series three on the podcast.
Yeah. I've also watched the final episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Just wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Who won? Our predictions were correct.
Yeah.
The Vivian won the crown. It came down to the Vivian and Davina DeCampo.
Oh, right. So...
Bag of chips
got... Oh, I thought
she sort of threw in the towel. Every time she gets put into a bottom, she throws in the towel. She's like, I'm not letting a lip sync or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's the final three, so she's going to be in the bottom. So at the end...
It's a shame because I like bag of chips.
On the last episode of all RuPaul's Drag Race, he says, why do you deserve to win this? And she went, I don't. These two deserve to win it. And just, that was it.
Oh, wow.
Whereas the other two were like, I've got a lot of skill, I'm talented, I'm good at what I do.
I want to be here.
Yeah, so then they did a final lip sync. I can't remember what they lip synced to. It wasn't a song that was impressive, but the outfits were really good. The bib looked fab.
Yeah.
And she won. The only thing I didn't like is it wasn't a live show. It was just in front of the judges.
They didn't. Normally they do a big song and dance. It's like in a massive venue.
A theater, yeah.
They get loads of people like involved and everyone's there and the family and the just anyone.
Yeah.
From
and they usually get like celebrities to like
endorse
contact them and say like, you've done an amazing job, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't. Like it was just in front of Rue, Michelle, Alan and Graham and that was it. And then like when they won, it was just them like...
Oh, yeah.
It was really underwhelming.
It's classic BBC taking on a show. Yeah. There's not big prize money, there's not grand rewards,
yeah.
And there's not a big song and dance at the end.
Yeah.
Because they're worried that people who pay TV license will complain.
Not even on the telly.
That's where the money goes. Yeah,
it's online.
It's online on BBC Three. So
BBC Three is not a channel anymore, is it?
Well, the good thing is that they've done the casting call for series two.
So hopefully they'll do a bit more with it because they know it's successful.
Yeah, I don't like it though when shows... They start off with, they won the first one, but didn't get much. But then by series five, they're winning like cars and holidays and stuff. I guess it's if you look at like family fortunes from the 80s, they win like £500.
Yeah, but that was a lot of money in the 80s.
Well, there you go. In that case, family fortunes have stayed relative. Well done, Les Dennis. And Bob Monkhouse.
And
whoever's doing it.
Vernon Kay.
Yeah. See that or Stephen Mulhern, but I think he does catch rays.
I don't think Family Fortunes is on anymore.
That is the saddest news I've heard, and it's only Tuesday.
I'm sure someone else does. It's not Ben and Kay anymore. I don't think he's a thing.
What other bits of TV have we been watching? We started watching The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah, on Netflix.
So that's back with season three. I thought I'd seen a few when it came back, like popped back up on the Netflix feed. So we sat down together and watched the My Little Pony episode.
Because we both had them growing up.
Yes. Yeah.
We both had
them. I know, yeah, My Little Ponies. Yeah, I'd heard a lot about... I'd seen My Little Pony around and heard a lot... I'd seen My Little Pony around, getting about town. No, but I'd heard about this whole brony thing, which is like middle-aged men watching a show.
Middle-aged to like 20.
Okay, well... Adult males watching
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, which is absolutely fine, but it was just, I wondered why. Anyway, that gets covered off in the show. One of my favourite things about it, though, is the way it's all cut together.
Mm.
Like, they interview maybe five or six different people, and clearly, well, I hope they're asking them all the same questions. And it just strings them all together, and it makes it easier to paint that picture of what people are thinking and who's saying what. Because of the way it's done, there's potential to add drama, similar to like a reality TV show.
I was just about to say, I think it's done in a really like witty way though.
Yes.
It's not in like like when you're saying like in a reality TV show, they will like film someone shooting a snotty look and then place it where like in a necessary place. They do that, but these people aren't in the same rooms. They're all getting interviewed separately in like their own homes.
Yeah.
Someone will say something snotty. and then they'll have the other person pull on a funny face.
Yeah.
But it's done in like a comedic, tongue-in-cheek sort of way. And I'd really like the way it's been produced.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me trust exactly what they're saying is true because they could have cut it in a certain way. Yeah. But it was really interesting, considering it was just about My Little Ponies, it was really interesting the drama behind the original designs for My Little Ponies and
it really was.
Rump designs.
So there was a possible three people that could have come up with the idea of My Little Pony, and it all gets covered off in this part. But the whole show altogether, you learn everything you want to about the history of said...
The product.
Yeah, of the product it's covering. And then it ties it all together with the story and the people who worked on that product.
Yeah.
So it's not just, here's this toy, it's really cool. It's like, oh, did you know the people who worked on this, there was this big feud between this and they had to get people from this toy company. And it's not all as plain sailing as it appears to the consumer.
And in this situation, it told you My Pretty Pony was first.
Yes.
And then it became My Little Pony. So it gives you the history from before and where it is now sort of thing and how it's changed. And it even shows you like mega fans and stuff talk about how they interpreted the toys as kids.
Yeah.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And they've got episodes on other things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Star Wars. Can't think of any other girl ones. Barbie. I want to watch the Barbie one because I think she'd be interesting.
I think they'll all be really interesting. Yeah. I think Barbie will be especially interesting because of just how large Barbie brand it is.
She's like 56 or something.
She looks good for her age.
She does. Sassy good.
Wow. So that's The Toys That Made Us. The new series is now on Netflix. Covering a lot of things on Netflix, aren't we?
Yeah.
Wow. They should sponsor. Wow. Oh. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So last week, I think we mentioned that we were going to watch a Christmas film.
You said Klaus or Claus. We weren't sure what it was called at the time.
It's Klaus.
It is Klaus.
Yeah. And we did watch it.
Sorry, we watched this a couple of days ago and we haven't told each other what we thought. We've been held it in. Been ready to burst on what we're gonna say.
I know, we should have written something down.
I think I may have done.
Yeah.
Oh, I have. Look at that. Aren't I good?
Go on then, do you wanna...
Klaus, a well-told story of the origin behind the myth of Santa Claus. That was my synopsis of it, which is also a bit opinionated.
So, because that was pretty vague.
I'm on the fence about the whole thing.
It's basically about a postman.
A postman whose dad is the Postmaster General.
Oh.
Who, because his dad's the Postmaster General, he just lies around all day doing nothing.
Being wealthy.
Being wealthy. Doing nothing but being wealthy and having a butler. So his dad sends him off to the northernmost part of the... I don't want to say...
The world.
Of the world, because... It's not named after places we have
Lapland.
On Earth. But in this universe, it sends him to the northern, coldest part for him to be the postman there and hopefully learn some things about working hard and
finding
a purpose.
He had to send 6,000 letters in order to get his inheritance in a year. And if he didn't do that, he wouldn't get his inheritance and he'd have to stay in this horrible town. And the thing about this town is it's run by two... rival
clans.
Families.
Yeah.
So everyone just fights and there's a war bell that people ring and they just attack each other.
They just brawl in the middle of the town.
And the kids don't know how to learn. The kids don't know how to read because there's no school because the parents won't let the two families learn together.
Yeah.
So there is no school. But the postman is trying to deliver letters but no one's sending letters because no one writes to each other.
No one writes to each other because they're all in this feud. A lot of the kids don't know how to write letters, so they're not sending letters. Until one day the postman is walking outside and he sees a kid's drawing on the floor and says, you can have it back, but I have to post it to you, because he's trying to get his numbers up because he's acting really selfish. And basically the drawing ends up in the hands of Klaus.
Yeah, who is a wooden toy maker. He's not wooden. He makes wooden toys.
Yeah.
And he sees the drawing and he wants to deliver the kid a toy to cheer him up because his drawing was quite sad.
Yes.
So then the kid tells other kids that if you write a letter to Klaus, you'll get a toy.
Yeah.
But then one of the kids who was horrible to the postman gets coal as like payback. And when the kid confronts the postman, he says, well, he's always watching you. He sees you all the time.
Yeah.
You gotta be good. So all the kids start being good and start doing good deeds, which makes the town into a better place.
Yes, but it also makes the clan members of the two families unhappy because the feud is now ending and the whole premise of the town is built on this feud.
Yeah.
I think there's some really funny scenes of, it's sort of like a compilation, but it just does it throughout.
Yeah.
Where they're just in the background, someone will fire a cannon into someone else's house or...
Yeah.
There's a lot of dark bits.
It really is. Like, it reminded me a bit of Adam's Family.
It was giving
Nightmare
me...
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Adam's Family meets Tim Burton vibes.
Yeah.
There's a little girl who looks a bit like Wednesday Addams slowly pushing carrots into a snowman's belly, almost like stabbing it with carrots.
But she doesn't blink and she just makes serious eye contact while she's shoving it in slowly.
Yeah. The animation style, though, altogether is absolutely brilliant. It's got that sort of like gradient shading with a bit of a rough texture to it.
It reminds me a lot of the animation from... I want to say Root Eldorado, but I think it's just called Eldorado.
I don't know.
Oh, it's really good. Have you not seen it?
No, I don't think
Oh, Jack. Or Prince of Thieves. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think what makes Klaus really good,
basically.
I think what makes Klaus really good is they humanize Santa Claus. So instead of him being this jolly, magical perfect being. Family. Yeah. He's got Mrs. Claus and she's always like bringing him cookies and like being a general housewife, which is, you know, a little bit misogynist in a way.
Mm.
And Santa is just this big guy who could fit down every chimney and he's got a magic key and everything that your parents might tell you when you're a kid to make you believe in Santa Claus. What this does is it just shows that he's a normal guy.
Who's just trying to do nice things.
Yeah, he's just trying to do nice things. And he's got quite a bit of a sad backstory as well. And I think because of that, you feel more for it. The whole film is funny, but it's also really sad at times.
Yeah.
And dark. It's quite a roller coaster.
We both did a little cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
when did
in
you
all,
do the cry?
When did I do the cry? I'm not going to say. You have to cry yourself and find out. Because I think we cried at the same time.
Was it the bit when he's like, I'm coming, my love?
I cried then, for sure. All in all, though, I would watch Klaus every year at Christmas. I have not said that about a Christmas film in so long.
I said the same thing. Klaus, for me, classic. I thought it was brilliant, yeah. I think just because it really hits the nail on the head of a really good origin story for Santa, and it can be, I think anyone could watch it and enjoy it and believe in this sort of...
And it's because it's before, like, the Christmas that we all know now of the gift giving.
Yeah.
It's not a very Christmassy film.
No.
It's not like a ram down your throat Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just a nice story about giving and being kind.
It's the one act of goodwill sparks another.
One act of
selflessness
kindness.
Will spark another. Yeah. And that's the whole sort of moral to the film. And that follows throughout, but it only really becomes massively... You know what it is going to be, and then it becomes more apparent towards
throughout,
the end.
Yeah.
Klaus, for me, was excellent.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know why. No, I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. I don't even know what that half is for. Screw it. It was good.
What? I was going to do it out of 5. I was going to give it a 5 out of 5. That's usually what stars are.
Not in my life.
Okay.
I'm 28 and I'm from Liverpool.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so what I'm going to do
is
I have got kids films that I'm pretty sure that you've already seen.
Right, okay.
I've got 1-star reviews from IMDb. That you've got to guess what the movie is.
Okay.
Okay.
So you read me the review.
You've got to guess what it is.
And I've got to guess what it is.
Yeah.
And the category for this week is
kids films.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, first film. Worst movie ever.
Okay.
This movie was the worst movie I have ever seen. The acting was so bad, I wanted to puke.
Right.
The soldiers were so stupid, I wanted to pass out. and the lines of this movie were so ridiculously bad, I wanted to die. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, what the beep? This movie somehow managed to get decent ratings. If someone says this movie is good, I'm going to punch them. I hope this director never makes a movie again. This movie was so bad. If he makes any other movies, the average rating will probably be -345671254312698215469.
Whoa, I didn't realise numbers went so low.
I hope they never come out with a sequel. If they do, I will break all the cameras in half. They might as well record a coffee cup. That would still be better than this movie. Unbelievable.
So the quote was, if you can't see it...
doesn't mean it's not there.
Doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah.
And something about soldiers. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing the whole film's about soldiers.
Yeah, kids film.
Kids film about soldiers, like actual soldiers.
I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah, you do. Have you seen this film?
Yeah, you've seen it too. Oh, I actually bought you this.
You bought it for me?
Yeah.
Is Soldiers in the title?
Yeah.
Is it Small Soldiers?
It is Small Soldiers.
Yeah. Ah, I love that film. Is it the Gargonauts?
Yeah.
What's the name of the kid in that?
The kid? Oh, God, I don't know.
It's like Alex or something, because the main Gargonaut's like, good work, Alex, or something like that.
I can't remember his name either.
If I remember, I'll try and insert what I was trying to...
I'm trying to think of the brown one's name.
Which one?
The main Gargonite.
Gargonite.
Alan, friend of Archer, defender of all Gorgonites, keeper of Encarta.
Keeper of Encarta?
Yeah. It's Chip Hazard, is it? Major Chip Hazard. Yeah, brilliant. That's got, what's his name now? David from Arrested Development.
Yes. He's like the main developer.
From Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
Mm, movie number.
Oh, and Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Yeah, relatively young.
And all the Barbies are like, come and play with me, brush my hair.
Was that before or after Toy Story?
I think it was around the same time because a lot of people were comparing the two.
Right, okay.
And they were like, this is terrifying. But
God.
That one made me laugh. He was so angry.
He sounds so angry. Can you a couple of the best bits of that? Because that was quite a long one.
The acting was so bad, I wanted to puke. The soldiers were so stupid, I wanted to pass out. And the lines of the movie were so ridiculously bad, I wanted to die.
Brilliant. Right. Nice. Okay, Small Soldiers.
Okay, movie number two. What is the point of this film? I must have watched this in 1996 and liked it when I was a kid, but seeing it again, all the nostalgia flies out the window. The 90s were so weird.
Okay.
The thinking must have been, blank is popular and we like money, so let's make a flimsy, badly written vehicle to shoehorn him into a film. And bingo, dollars roll in. We need some cartoon characters who are cheap. Disney won't do it. I know. That sub of characters, .. The animation is dated, yes, but the concept of it wouldn't fly. And why them? So bizarre seeing a sassy 1940s rabbit on the screen. And why were they smoking in the late 90s?
Who's playing Roger Rabbit?
No.
Oh, Space Jam.
It is Space Jam. I should have proofread that one because there was loads of like...
bits in it. Bits
like
it
basketball and...
What was the title of that again? Why is this?
What is the point of this film?
What? The point is so that Michael Jordan gets his game back because he's starting to lose it a little bit.
The concept of it wouldn't fly now, despite the theme tune.
Oh, brilliant film. Space Jam. I love Space Jam.
Space Jam's great.
It's probably one of the best films from the 90s.
Mm.
You heard it here first, guys.
I mean, I beg to differ.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because the movie that I was going to choose didn't have any 1-star reviews.
Wow. What was the movie you were going to choose?
Do you want to guess?
Beauty and the Beast.
No.
Shrek.
We named the podcast after it.
The Goofy Movie.
The Goofy Movie.
Really?
No 1-star reviews.
No 1-star reviews.
Because it's brilliant.
Wow. Well, do you know what? I think Space Jam is better because it has...
How dare you?
Because it's got a 1-star review, so it's got a wider audience. People who hate it and people who like it. Goofy Movie, just people who like it. That's only one audience.
We are going to fall out.
Okay. All right, so I got that one in two.
Yeah.
Excellent, okay.
Because
it isn't Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
I was put off by the smoking rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jessica Rabbit isn't a rabbit. She's a lady.
No. A hard good Space Jam.
Okay, three.
Yep.
Rude and Crude. I really didn't enjoy this at all. It was humorous at times, horribly crude at others. I also found the animation a bit overdone, characters quite annoying. The only enjoyable one was the poor, unfortunate gingerbread man. 1 out of 10.
Shrek.
It is Shrek.
How dare they?
You should have seen the others. People had written essays about how much they hated this film.
What? How? It's amazing.
This had the most one-star reviews out of all the ones I looked at.
Mm-hmm. Get out of town.
That was the least spoilery one that I could find.
It's brilliant. It's got John Lithgow in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. No, John Lithgow, Eddie Murphy, Mike Myers. Yeah. Cameron Diaz. She's in it. Don't really like her in most things, but
she's in it.
Shrek, brilliant film. How dare they? One of Eddie Murphy's best roles.
Probably the last good role.
No, Bowfinger.
Bowfinger was before Shrek.
Well, whatever. He was what he learned from Bowfinger, he put into Shrek. Okay. You can see it.
And then he lost it in the Haunted Mansion.
I've not seen it.
Okay, final one.
Okay, number 4.
Mawkish, sentimental, unwatchable, claptrap.
Mawkish?
Yeah.
Is that even a word?
I have no idea.
Okay.
When this premiered in the UK, apparently bacon sales fell by quite a large amount, except in Yorkshire, in the North England.
Right.
In Yorkshire, bacon and pork sales went up by 15%. This shows you that.
Oh God. I know what this is.
This shows you that Yorkshire people have excellent taste in films. This film, in my view, is a disgustingly sentimental piece of rubbish, totally value-free and simply calculated to push an R button. It's probably sponsored by the vegetarian lobby. Even the voice chosen for the character is enough to make me scream. I stood 30 minutes of this rubbish before I gave up and went to make a bacon sandwich.
Oh God, that's Babe.
It is Babe.
Oh, wow. I've not seen it in absolute years, but how did they know that just the people of Yorkshire?
What, 15% increased the sales of pork and bacon.
Wow. Wow. So the people of Yorkshire are just like, oh, there's a pig on the screen. I'm going to go around with some sausages.
Apparently
where
so.
Everyone else in like, the country was like,
he thinks he's a dog.
Gotta stop eating. You know what? I reckon he, Babe, started the whole vegan movement.
Maybe.
That's it. That's why there's such a big vegan trend now. Because we all watched Babe when we were...
And then Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah, yeah. That was just to ramp up it even more because they had extra budget.
What's he doing
on
in the city?
And the marketing from the first one.
Anyway.
I liked it. It was faster than I thought it would have been.
Me too. I didn't want to give you really hard ones.
Yes.
Like the first one was the hardest.
Yep.
And it was harder to find ones without any like spoilers.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. Work harder on it.
No, that was a really good idea for a game.
I've got a few other games to play.
Yeah. So maybe once a week we're going to try and include a game. Mm-hmm. It might not be the same thing every time.
Yes.
But if you like this one-star review, let us know by giving us, don't give us one-star reviews.
Please don't.
But yeah, so I think that's as a beta test for the game, I thought that was great.
Thank you.
And I think doing a different category each time will be really fun.
Yeah, that was another thing. I didn't want to just like pick random films. I wanted to do all in the same category so you knew where to look into your brain. I just imagined like loads of filing cabinets and you were like, kids films.
I have a little...
Like Bruce Almighty.
There's a little Jack librarian inside behind a desk. And he's like, man, what are you searching for?
Okay.
It sounds nothing like me,
okay.
But that's what it does. And it sits on a really small desk, but with like loads of papers stacked up really high.
And got like big glasses.
Yeah. Mm. And a really small head. A really big head and really small glasses. Yeah. And a toupee that keeps falling off. Looks nothing like me, really.
Mm.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. Fun game. Anything cool you've seen this week? Anything cool?
No, but I did want to talk about another podcast, if that's allowed.
That's allowed.
So I have been listening to The Office Ladies.
You've been listening to another podcast?
Yeah. The Office Ladies is a podcast with Angela Kinsley and Jenna Fisher, who play Angela and Pam in The American Office. And each week they watch an episode of The Office and then give you like little tidbits and stories from behind the scenes. And sometimes they have guests, like one episode they had Rainn Wilson.
Okay.
We've only just finished series one, but there's only 6 episodes in series one.
Yeah.
So this week they're on season 2, but it's been really fun to like watch an episode of The Office once a week and then
find
go and listen to that. And then like Angela Kinsey on the first episode was just a background character because it was the pilot and they didn't know if they were going to get picked up or not. The director was just like, just do background stuff, just hand out paper. So she wrote on a bunch of pieces of paper that it was Sprinkles, her cat's birthday party, and you're invited. And she was just handing them out throughout the office, which is how Angela got the backstory of being the cat lady because of that one background thing
that
happened that we didn't know was actually happening.
I love stuff like that.
If you look on Kevin's desk from season one all the way to season nine, you can see the Sprinkles invite is on.
See, that makes me really want to rewatch it. So I watched a couple of episodes alongside with Lisa, but Lisa listens to the podcast. I gave it a go. I'll be honest, the voices on the podcast are a lot whinier than they are on the show.
I did warn you of that on episode one.
Right.
I don't know if that's where you started.
Yes.
Episode one, I think they're very excited and they're a bit nervous. So I think they're not talking normal, but I think now they're a bit more into it and getting used to it. They do sometimes. They're just like, calm down. But once they are like into an episode and they're not getting too excited, it's really good. And it's got lots of interesting information if you're interested in The American Office.
Oh, cool.
Is there anything you've seen, heard, or done?
Nothing springs to mind, but it's because we spent the weekend putting up Christmas decorations, which was really nice. So now it's all cozy and Christmassy in the living room, and we can begin watching Christmas films. So we're trying not to fill the podcast with too many Christmas films because we want to do a few Christmas-themed episodes. Exciting.
Mm.
But I'm sure maybe some of the live action ones that we watch along the way, Christmas with the Cranks, National Lampoon's, maybe.
I love National Lampoon.
Yeah, it is a great film. So we're going to watch Frozen 2 this week, and we'll have our review and our thoughts on that
next week.
Next episode. Yeah. So you've got that to look forward to, all people who like Frozen 2.
It gives you a chance to go see it, so there's no spoilers.
Yeah, and we'll catch you up next week on what other things we've been doing, everything else we've been watching.
That's usually how it goes.
Two episodes in, we're already on a roll.
Well, thank you for listening to episode two. If you could subscribe and review, we'd really appreciate it. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at PerfectCastPod. And you can also email us at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com.
Bounce, 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 bounce.
We see your lines moving. Oh, we're recording. Should we try and do a theme tune for One Star Review?
Okay.
One star review. What star review? It's a game to play. What star review? We play it every day. One star review. It's a game we play. It's called One Star Review. We play it all the time. Me and you play the game. One Star Review.
I can't do any tunes.
One star review. Okay, this is going to be it now.
Okay, go.
One star review. Okay.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.